tired, I'm worn. My heart is heavy from the work it takes to keep on breathing. I've made mistakes. I've let my hope fail. My soul feels crushed by the weight of this world.
I worship. darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is.
Welcome, Hope Show listeners. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me here today to fellowship and to worship the Lord on this beautiful rainy Saturday. It's raining buckets here. But anyway, I hope all of you have had a wonderful week. Today's message is about finding joy in the tough times. Before we get started, I want to take a moment for all of us to bow our heads in an opening prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, it is an honor and a privilege for all of us to join together and worship you while studying your word. Father, thank you for bringing us together on this day. Our hearts are filled with praise and thanksgiving for all that you do for us. We love you and we thank you for taking such good care of us. Dear Heavenly Father, please anoint this vessel and may the words I speak come straight from you and not of my own understanding. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, Amen. Thank you for joining me on that opening prayer. So let's get started. Circumstances in our lives can happen so quickly. Just an example, this past week, in a town about 30 minutes from me, there was a wreck on the interstate involving a tractor trailer and a car. Both are seriously injured, but praise God, no one died in that horrible wreck. both of the drivers woke up that morning, just like you and I. They never imagined that on their way back from work or wherever they were going, that they would be in such a horrible car accident that would come so very close to ending their lives. Sometimes life hands us situations that we don't understand, that we can't explain. We have all faced distress in various ways when these unexpected events happen in our lives. It's scary to find ourselves in situations that are outside of our control, that we can't do anything about. It's in God's hands. The key to any crisis is prayer and how we otherwise respond to those happenings. Sometimes the very thing that seems like it will surely end us will actually benefit us in the long run. God always has a plan for our lives, but there is most always a moment when you find yourself in that crisis that you just can't see the happy ending in sight. This is when it is especially important to turn to the Lord. When we strengthen ourselves in the Lord, He can lead us out of the narrow places, the tight spots, to our eventual victory. We must find joy even in those tough times. God doesn't want us to let our circumstances drive us, our emotions to drive us. God wants us to rely on Him and His strength and to trust Him. He is our source for strength and joy, even when it seems like all odds are against us. We can always trust Him in uncertain times because He always has our best interest at heart, my friends. Sometimes it's quite difficult to find joy in circumstances, but joy, the real joy that comes from the Lord, is not dependent upon our circumstances. Joy is defined as a cheerfulness, a calm delight, a gladness multiplied greatly. True joy is something that we keep in our heart constant, despite whatever's going on the outside of our lives. Natural joy can be found in the beauty of music, nature, but joy in the Lord is an inner joy from knowing God, having a strong relationship with Him, and having faith that He will take care of us no matter what. Not if this, not if that, but no matter what. We can count on the Lord. We should wear the joy of the Lord in our hearts, but also on our faces. Sometimes we don't always feel like being joyful, but when these feelings come up, we need to be in prayer, and we need to ask God to reveal where our joy is. It's there, within us, perhaps shadowed by the things going on in our life at the time. But we do have joy in our heart. And at all costs, we need to cling to that joy and guard it with our life. You know, are joy and happiness the same? No, they're not the same. Joy, as I said before, is a fruit of the Spirit. And it does not change within us, no matter what circumstances we face. True joy comes from the peace of God that He puts in us. But happiness, on the other hand, is of the flesh and is led by our emotions. Human emotions cannot always be trusted. The Bible has much to say about joy. And let's go ahead and start out with 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you and I, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your soul. Friends, in these verses, the Bible talks about being born again. This is the only way back to God. Sin has taken us so far away from God, and the only way back is to be born again, to find our salvation, to know him in our heart and soul, and to accept him as our Lord and Savior, our deliverance from our sin and its consequences, the saving of a human being from death and complete separation from God by Christ's death and resurrection. One of the gifts that salvation has given us is joy. Joy is the assurance that God is in control. He's in control of all the details of our life. The confidence that everything is going to be all right. And the determined choice to praise God in every situation we find ourselves in. Friends, there's going to be purpose for our trials and our tribulations. Purpose in our suffering. And we may not understand that right now. And sometimes God reveals it to us later, and sometimes it's never revealed. But that's where our trust and faith lie, in knowing that God has our back and that he's working out everything for our good. Suffering is so that we will give all praise and glory to God when he works it all out for our good. Many of us experience tough times through our lives, but these are the greatest opportunities to glorify God. Friends, when everything is going our way and everything is calm, it's easy to thank God when the blessings are flowing. But what about when the clouds begin to gather and the storm comes into our lives? We're in complete darkness. It's much harder to find joy in our hearts and still praise God during that storm. Jesus tells a story in the Bible about two houses. One was built by a wise man, and the other house was built by a foolish man. One was built upon a rock, the other upon the sand. The rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat against both houses. Believers and non-believers alike are called upon to suffer trials and tribulations. Everyone. Serving Christ does not free us from suffering, but it does give us the strength and the grace to bear these trials and to become more than conquerors over every test of our life. Friends, if we can sing praises to God and have joy in our heart in the darkest of hours of our suffering and trials, we will bring glory to God. Trials are meant to shape us, mold us, and teach us. They're not meant to break us. Trials and struggles make us stronger. They shape and mold who we will become based on our responses to those tough times in our life. And this is what it means in verse 7 when the Bible talks about being refined by fire. During the trials and tribulations of our lives, we can still find joy. The joy of the Lord. Peace in our hearts. Knowing, trusting, having faith that God is in control. And even though we may not see it, He is making a way. He's the way maker, the promise keeper. He is making a way where there doesn't seem to be a way. He's the way maker, the promise keeper, and the miracle worker. Think about that for a moment. So what do you think this joy would look like during the tough times? What do you think that type of joy in our heart would look like or feel like? I believe that it would look like an inward peace, a calm, unswerving, steady, humble heart, and remaining thankful no matter what. Wearing that radiant smile, letting the sun, S-O-N, not S-U-N, letting the sun shine through our facial expressions. Sorrow, hurt, disappointment, unforgiveness, bitterness, grief. These are all natural reactions to tough times and to testing. But in the book of James 1:2-18, we can read and find some pretty exciting discoveries. In verse 1, the word joy is said to mean pure, meaning clean and clear. So, an amplified version of the meaning of joy might read something like this. Consider it to be clean, clear, cheerful, and a calm delight whenever you face trials of many kinds. So now, my friends, let us go ahead and read these verses in James 1:2-18. Friends, consider yourself fortunate, when all kinds of trials and tribulation come your way. Some versions in the Bible say, consider it pure joy. For you know that when your faith succeeds in facing such trials, that the result is the ability to endure. It makes us stronger. Make sure that your endurance carries you all the way without failing. Don't give up. So that you may be perfect and complete and lacking nothing. But any of you lack wisdom, you should pray to God, who will give it to you, because God gives generously and graciously to all of us. But when you pray, you must believe and not doubt at all. Whoever doubts is like a wave in the sea that is driven and blown about the wind. If you are like that, unable to make up your mind, being indecisive in all that you do, you must not think that you will receive anything from the Lord. Those Christians who are poor must be glad when God lifts them up. And the rich Christians must be glad when God brings them down. For the rich will pass away like a flower of a wild plant. But the sun rises with its blazing heat and burns the plant. Its flower falls off, and its beauty is destroyed. And in just the same way, the rich will be destroyed while they go out about their business. You know, the one that builds his house on the rock will survive. But the one who built his house on the sand is sinking sand, my friends. And it won't last. So, happy are those who remain faithful under trials, because when they succeed in passing such a test, they will receive as their reward the life which God has promised to those who love Him. If we are tempted by such trials, we must not say, "This temptation comes from God." The Creator of the heavenly lights, who does not change or cause darkness by turning, by His own will, He brought us into being through the word of truth, so that we should have first place among all creatures. Friends, that just, you know, I'm just in awe of the power of God, and that He created us to do so much. And He chose us to be the caretakers of this earth, of all the creatures that swim, fly, and walk on land. Friends, that's pretty amazing. So, this version of the Bible is from the Good News Translation. It's a very old Bible. I looked up the commentary on James 1, 2 through 18, and let me explain a little bit more about what these verses mean. The Word of God teaches men, women, and children to be joyful under troubles. It teaches us through such exercises of going through the fire and coming out on the other side unharmed. It grows our faith and our character. It builds our trust and our dependency on God, as we give Him all the praise and the glory for getting us through these tough times in our lives, these storms. We are called to have patience during these storms and not let passion or emotion rule in us. We should not pray so much for the removal of our affliction and suffering, but pray for the wisdom to make the right use of the trials we are faced with. Pray that God will give you guidance and strength and revelation. A mind that stays focused on God during all times of our weaknesses or foolishness, a mind that is steadfast on our spiritual and eternal interest and keeps to our purpose for God, will grow wiser with each new affliction. Look back at yourself. Look back at your past. What was your past like? What is your life like right now? Can you imagine a life without God? Without Jesus Christ? It would be... I just can't even imagine, because as I look back on my own life, you know, I made a pretty big mess of my life at certain times in my life, and I can tell you honestly that it's by the grace of God that I'm where I'm at right now, talking to you guys, because if it wasn't for God, I don't even know if I'd be alive. I don't even know if I would be here. And I'm sure that many of you in the listening audience out there feel the same way. We will continue to rise above anything that the enemy means for our harm. When our faith rises and falls like the waves of the sea, when doubt enters into our mind, our words and our actions become unsteady, and we are more apt to fall for the lies of the enemy. And when that happens, we are more apt to make wrong choices. And so therefore it is said, let all mankind rejoice in the grace of God. This will keep us humble, and we will find pure joy and happiness in and from God, and not from the temporal things of this world, the temporal enjoyments in our life that can cause our eternal demise. Temporal enjoyments are only for a moment, but following the Lord is for a lifetime. And, you know, when judgment day comes, we're either going to eternal hell or we're going to eternal heaven with God. And I don't know about you folks, but that's exactly where I want to be. I want to be in heaven alongside my Heavenly Father for eternity. I want to be reunited with my family and my friends and even my pets. So, difficult times are meant to draw out our grace, to teach us something, transform us to be more Christ-like and less of ourselves. God is unchangeable, and His promises will always stand if we abide in Him and He abides in us. Every good gift, listen folks, every good gift comes from God. Let's praise Him for all the good things He does for us. You know, some of you may say, oh, I don't have anything to praise God about. What about you woke up this morning? What about you have food and an income to have a home, a car? Friends, you can always look around the corner and see someone that is so much worse off than you are. And you need to hold on to that. God is enough. Praise Him daily, all day long. A believer becomes a different person after accepting salvation. Are our lifestyles reflecting on our new creation? Are we experiencing that pure joy, that peace in God, that faith unshakable when the storms come our way? Are we standing on the rock? Are we keeping steady and keeping the faith? Or are we like the waves in the sea, being tossed about to and fro, unsteady, up one minute, down the next? Sometimes we want to blame someone, or we want to blame God for what's happening in our lives. But instead of blaming God during those tough times, why don't we open our ears and our hearts to learn what God is trying to teach us? We must learn to silence our tongues and learn some self-discipline so that we won't be ruled by our emotions and by our passions. You know, the worst thing to bring to a battle is anger, bitterness, blame, unforgiveness, and all those other negative emotions that we feel. We are human. We do fall. But we have to pick ourselves right back up and ask God's forgiveness and help to get us back on the right standing with Him, to get us back on the narrow path where we should be. We must yield ourselves to God with humble and teachable minds. Are we doing that? Are we doing that? Sometimes we ask ourselves, but why me, Lord? Friends, if that's you asking the question, that's the wrong mindset. By thinking of things like that, it's showing a form of pride and arrogance. This might not be your intent, but in reality, that question somehow implies that a person is better than someone else, that a person feels like they shouldn't have to go through such things. You know, one day, many, many years ago, I was pondering over the why me, Lord, and this thought came to me. And when I thought about that for a moment, I was so ashamed that I would even be so arrogant as to think that. All humans are equal. No one is better than another. Perhaps you don't think of it that way when the question arises, but, you know, I have never said that to myself since. The question instead is, why not me? I'm going to go ahead and go to a short break, so please stay tuned in for the second half of the message.
Shame. I'm laying them
Whew, I love that song. How about you guys? Well, welcome back to the Hope Show. And the message for today has been joy in the tough times. And so let's just jump right back in there. And joy is one of the gifts of the Spirit. And so we shouldn't waste it on being negative and doubtful, lacking faith in God. You know, and you may say, well, I do have faith in God. But friends, you know, years ago I would have said that too. But as I've learned a little bit more about His Word, you know, when we doubt the Lord, that is showing a certain lack of faith. And you know, when I thought of that, I was like, oh gosh, I am so sorry, God. I didn't realize that that's what that is. And so perhaps some of you maybe have not realized that either. But you know, the joy that I'm talking about comes from serving and pleasing our Heavenly Father, from doing His will for our lives. You know, there was a reoccurring theme in Jesus' life, and that was joy in serving, joy in pleasing, and joy in God's kingdom work. The joy He was experiencing while doing the will and the work of the Heavenly Father was based on a certainty of a greater joy awaiting Him later. And so, in Proverbs 17:22, the Bible says, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." Friends, the word joy can be found in the Bible more than 200 times. The Bible itself, think about this, the Bible is a book of joy. The Bible is filled with people who lived joy-filled lives. In the book of Philippians 1:3-26, Paul and Timothy are telling the secret of a joy-filled life in spite of their circumstances. And this letter was written from a Roman dungeon, which was by far not the best of circumstances from anyone reading about joy. Friends, one of the biggest problems for us in this area of joy is that we are focused on the wrong things, the wrong attitude. We have somehow missed what the true meaning of joy is all about. We have lost our focus and our sight of what worry, of what is truly important, of what's truly important in maintaining joy in our lives. The Bible tells us over and over to worry about nothing, pray about everything. We need to focus on rejoicing, relaxing, resting, staying in the Word of God, and praying. Keeping our faith and our trust steadfast. Keeping our eyes focused on up and not down. The bondage of worry forces us to focus on the wrong things, my friends. And it doesn't get us anywhere. It really doesn't. It doesn't change anything, no matter how hard we worry about something. It all comes together in God's timing, and not a minute sooner. So, again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known by God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. How many of you have prayed for joy and peace that surpass all understanding? Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, then meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Friends, the joy of the Lord is the answer to living a meaningful life. Psalm 16:11 says, "You have made known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." Friends, life happens. And life isn't always easy, and it's not always fair. But God has many things to teach us. But we have to be teachable. We have to remain humble. Sometimes our lives have to be shaken up a little bit so that we don't get too complacent and comfortable and our minds and bodies become stagnant. Because then we don't learn new things. If life was easy all the time, what would we learn from that? Think about this for a moment. I can personally say from my own life experiences, I can't say it's always been pleasant, but I can tell you that I'm the woman that I am today because of it, and I would do it all over again for the Lord. Because as I said earlier, I don't even know if I'd be alive today if not for the Lord. And I'm sure that most of you can probably relate to that with some of your own life experiences. So instead of losing your joy, losing your focus, take heart that God has brought you out of these things before, and He will do it again. You are stronger than you've ever been. And you will continue to grow stronger in and for the Lord. Don't look back to camp out. Look back to see what an amazing God we serve. And to see what God has saved you from and how far He has brought you in this life. This isn't the end of your story. No matter what you're going through right now, it's only the beginning of something wonderful ahead of you. You can't see it yet, but right around the corner, all of God's goodness is in store for you. Don't give up. Keep moving forward, because if you quit now, you will never know what God had laid up in store for you. You may be closer to victory than you even know. What a shame it would be to go so far and quit right before your victory. You know, when you look back to see how far God has brought you, that in itself should bring you great joy. We can't make it on our own. During all those difficult times, God didn't forget about any of us. It's like the Footprints poem. He carries us when we are weak, too weak to go forward. Friends, Just envision that for a moment. That remarkable, beautiful picture in your mind, where God is walking ahead of, beside, to either side, behind. He is walking with us everywhere we go. Everything that we face in life. And when we are too weak to carry on, to go forward, we look back and we see that one set of footprints, and we perhaps may misunderstand that and think that God has left us. But that is so not true. It's when He carried us in His loving arms through the fire and safely to the other side. Isn't that beautiful? God has each one of us in His hand. There is nothing that takes God by surprise. Not the victories, and certainly not the struggles. You are not alone. Never. Even when you feel alone, cry out to Jesus. Say, even if you don't know what to say, and all you can do is groan, just say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. The Spirit hears our moans, and He translates that to our Heavenly Father when we don't even know how to pray. Your prayers do get heard, every single one of them. Have faith and stay strong in the Lord, and joy and peace will always be with you. Let's bow our head in a closing prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You that even when all others leave and abandon us, You always remain. Thank You that even though we thought, those that we thought would be around forever, come and go, that we can trust You completely. Be steadfast. You're a constant help, our source for all of our needs, our strength, our rock. Thank You that we can trust You to rescue us in our darkest hour. We are never alone. Thank You, Father. Thank You for loving us so unconditionally, for disciplining us, for showing us such grace and mercy and forgiveness, even though we don't deserve it. At the end of the day, Father, thank You that we can say all is well with our soul. Thank You for all the gifts, the fruits of the Spirit. But as we're talking about joy today, thank You for the gift of joy. The joy that surpasses all understanding. And remind us that joy is not determined by our circumstances. You are the source of our pure joy. Thank You, Heavenly Father. We love You. We praise Your holy, holy name. In Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, Amen. Friends, I want to thank all of you for joining me here today. And so, you know, tomorrow is a brand new day. And so God bless each and every one of you. Until next week, same time, same place. May God keep you and protect you and your families. Stay safe and healthy, and never give up. God is with you. Peace out.
love to sing your praises.
Answered when I called this name.